The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight on Radio Mariah.
Hello and welcome to The Spotlight on Radio Mariah. The Spotlight brings you stories of amazing people who have played a significant role in the field or in the society as volunteers, and are happy to share their stories. My name is Helen Toby. Well, our Spotlight appearance this week is Edith Tani Bargoma. She hails from the US and works as an administrative officer at the ANMIS office in Yei. Thank you for joining us today, Edith. Tell us a bit more about yourself.
I am a UNV here in United Nations missions in South Sudan. I came here in October of 2018. Mm-hmm. I started my time here in Malakal. Prior to that, I was back in the U.S. Working in New York on a few different projects, including with the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations as a civil society member. And I was doing other small consulting projects around New York before I decided to take an offer that was made to come out to South Sudan. Mm-hmm. I'm from California, and I have a sister. I had a brother who's late now, and with my parents, all in California. I came here, left from New York to come to South Sudan. After being there for 10 years and completing my education there.
That's much about you. Okay. So what is it that attracted you to become a UNV?
An offer was made.
Okay.
An offer was made and I took it. I just said, you know, I've always had a passion for working in Africa. And I actually had that opportunity to work in Nigeria for a couple of years for the oil company called NNPC. And since doing that, I had planned to one day go back to Africa to work. Mm-hmm. So when I got this offer, it mixed in my interest in volunteering as well as my interest in continuing my work with the United Nations. So I thought that it was a good opportunity to take up, you know, have the opportunity to affect change, to make a difference, while doing or getting the opportunity to do some of the things that I'm interested in on a volunteer basis.
Okay. Well, Edith, what are the things that you feel profoundly touched as a volunteer?
I've been volunteering for as long as I can remember. So it's always been in my blood. It's always been a way to bring me down to earth, or I should say to bring us down to earth, because my parents promoted that. Of course, for us, we started our volunteering in church.
Okay.
You know, and then you grow into doing other things as you get older and decide for yourself what you want to do. I think for me, what was very profound was when I was volunteering as a clown.
Oh, as a clown.
Yes, I was a volunteer as a clown for church. So what we do is we would dress in clown outfits and make up our face like clowns and then go to the retirement homes, you know, the places where old people are housed. Well, it sounds a little cold, but the place where old people are they reside.
Okay.
And a lot of those old people, they don't have, you know, people that come to see them. Sometimes their children or grandchildren go and drop them off, mm-hmm. and then they're left alone there. And no one comes to visit them, to look after them, to take care of them, to keep them company.
Okay.
So that was something that I was doing around the age of 13, 14, and 15. And it humbled me. It was something that I just loved doing, because it meant everything just to see a smile on the face of an older person that may have been forgotten
okay.
by their loved ones. And my grandmother was such a huge part of my life, had always been a huge part of my life. So I always saw her in those older people.
Okay.
And because I had such a close relationship with her, I valued spending time with them. So that was something that was very profound that I always looked forward to.
That is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your approach when you started as a UN bay or as a volunteer? What was your approach? How did you...
I hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
I hit the ground running and kind of ran a bit too fast, because I thought that it was going to be, you know, everyone was going to be on the same page, and we all came in very, you know, like, we're ready to volunteer, we're ready to get things done, we're ready to contribute, mm-hmm. and, you know, so on. So I came ready to do that, and I thought that I was going to just get my hands dirty and get in there and just start digging. So there was a bit of a shock,
okay.
to say, when I came in, and it was not like that. But, you know, as time went by, I kind of just figured out where my footing was and where I can pick up from, where I can, you know, take certain steps to affect certain actions.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Okay, let's have some music. Tell me about the first track that you've chosen for today.
I chose Stand Up by Cynthia Erivo. She's a British stage actress, movie actress, singer, songwriter. I mean, she's the full package. She's someone that I really admire, and the song that I chose is called Stand Up. It's a soundtrack, one of the songs on the soundtrack for the Harriet Tubman movie. I don't know if it came out here in Africa, but it's in the US. And the song is about standing up and rescuing yourself, protecting yourself, protecting your people, taking the necessary risks, mm-hmm. even at your own detriment or expense, in order to guide your people to freedom.
Okay.
In order to stand up for your people.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a very touching song. I love it's new. So when I heard the song, I just instantly fell in love with it, because I feel it spoke to my heart and what my interests are in just being that person or being that catalyst to be there when needed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stand Up it is. We're gonna play for you that.
I've been walking with my face turned to the sun. Weight on my shoulders, a bullet in my gun. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I have to run. I do what I can when I can, while I can, for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me to answer? Gonna keep on keeping on. I can
can feel it in my bones.
You have made it 100 miles to freedom. Would you like to pick a new name to mark your freedom?
Paratum.
Salvation, and I'll fight with the strength that I got until I die. So I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home far across the
Welcome to the Underground Railroad.
You're listening to The Spotlight on Radio Mirai. The Spotlight brings you stories about amazing people who are working in their fields as volunteers. And today in the studio, we're having Edith Tani Bargoma, who is a U.S. Citizen who works with the United Nations mission in South Sudan. What was your first moment of serving as a volunteer? This could be something in the community or back at home or wherever.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said earlier, I've been volunteering for as long as I can remember, because it is an inherent part of my upbringing and how my parents raised us. One of my other first volunteer experiences was working at St. Mary's homeless services shelter in the downtown of our city. In our city, it gets really cold. It doesn't snow, even though it's California, because most people would think, oh, California is hot. And I'm from Northern California, and it gets really cold. So one of my first volunteer opportunities, I'll call it that, my mom specifically took us to St. Mary's Homeless Services, where they provided medical services as well as feeding for the homeless. And also they have a shopping a store where homeless people can go and shop and get clothes for themselves. Okay. They're not paying for it, of course. She took me there to volunteer and to serve food and also work in the store, restocking and arranging. And it was a lesson in being humble, in being grateful. You know, and you know, what's that saying about to whom much is given, much is expected? And it's in blessing others that you also, you know, will get your blessing or you'll be blessed, and also realizing that you are blessed. I am blessed, you know, having what I have and having the wholesome background and home that I come from, and coming to the realization that not everybody has that privilege, not everybody is blessed as such. So my parents just wanted to make sure they instill in us gratitude. And one of those ways that they instilled that in us is to put us in a place where others are less fortunate, and for us to see and be grateful for what we have. And, you know, sometimes you'll complain, you know, as kids, I want this, I want that, you know, and if you don't get it, you throw a tantrum.
Okay.
And then you realize, oh, crap. I have it. I'm blessed, you know? So that was meaningful for me. And I feel like it has made me who I am today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that means you started volunteering way back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about your most memorable moment as a UNV.
I'm still there. I'm still having that experience. I feel like I'm still learning. I'm still seeing. I'm still receiving, I should say. Maybe when I landed.
That was the most memorable. So what happened when you landed?
When I landed, it was raining.
Oh.
It wasn't raining very heavily. And because I got here 2018, and the last time I was in Africa was in 2012. Okay. I was in Nigeria, but that was a bit of order.
Okay.
But when I got here, my bags were literally just like snatched from me.
Oh,
in a good way, so that they can take it. They can take
you.
It and go help me.
Okay.
But I was so overwhelmed. I was like, what? I was just like, what is going on? And of course, I was received by, you know, a UN representative, the welcoming committee. So, but it was still a bit overwhelming. Like, what is going on? Where's my bag?
Okay.
So it was a bit of a shock, but I quickly adjusted myself
to the situation.
To the flow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, separateness and this thing that you feel when you leave your country and your family. Has the absence of your family affected you?
Oh yeah. I miss my family. It's my dad, my mom, my sister. They're my world. They're my everything. And I miss them every day. And to the point where sometimes, especially when things get a little tough, or, you know, certain occasions might come up where I just feel so lonely. I just wish I could just have my mom there to just sit and talk and chat, because my mom and I can sit and talk for hours. Same with my sister. We can sit and talk for hours. So when things are happening and I'm, you know, in a place where I just really need someone that understands me, that knows me, to, you know, just to talk to, then it gets really, you know, hurtful, where I'm just like, where is my sister? Where is my mom? They're the only people that can soothe me, that can make me, you know, feel better, that I know whatever they tell me will be sound advice, and I know I can take it and go with it. And it's not the same, you know, I can pick up the phone and call and we can talk for hours on the phone, but it's not the same as
being there
and
together.
Seeing them. And, you know, as old as I am, I still put my head on my mom's chest and cry and talk and all of that stuff. So, I miss my family dearly.
You're listening to The Spotlight on Radio Mirai. The Spotlight is a program that brings you stories of amazing people who play significant roles as volunteers in South Sudan. Now, Edith, then you came to South Sudan as a volunteer. And what was your feeling like on the first day you reported to work?
I had to talk to myself internally to tell myself to just remember and be observant. I was anxious. I wanted to get going. As I said earlier, I hit the ground running. I kind of get bored very easily. You have to work to keep my attention. I had the impression that there was going to be a lot to do, and, you know, you get to work, you're volunteering, there's a need for the volunteering, and everything is set out, and, you know, it's a let's go. So I had that feeling. I had that. That was what I came with, the expectation that I came with, to the point where I had to remind myself, take a deep breath, be observant, learn, you know. But it was too slow for me.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so...
So the first day was really slow.
It wasn't
what you expected.
Yeah, it was slow. But, you know, I started to adjust and eventually adjust to the flow of things.
Okay. And what recollections do you have about your first day as a UNV in South Sudan?
My first day... the truth.
Was it just slow?
Well, it was disorganized.
Okay.
You know, it was disorganized. There was really no direction as to, okay, these are the things that need to happen, these are the steps that you need to take. I'm coming to a new place, having a new experience, in a new aspect or a different aspect of this organization. And I was hoping that it would be a bit more organized.
Okay.
And it wasn't. Myself and the group that I came in with had to kind of figure things out for ourselves.
Okay.
Which is fine. I have no issue with that. If that's the case, then that's the case. But there was a bit of expectation of, okay, now that you're here, these are the things that you need to do, and these are the steps that you need to take. And that was not readily available.
Oh, so your first day wasn't that good.
No.
Okay, so what are the three best things you've ever done as a volunteer?
Oh my goodness. Well, I named one of them volunteering in the old people's home. That will always be with me for the rest of my life. And if that opportunity comes up again, that is something that is very close to my heart that I would always do again. Working with youth is something that I cherish very much, which I did a lot of, especially when I was living in New York, working with the Development Youth Program in New York, where I was serving as a mentor and a trainer. So it was really humbling because, again, you're working with some of the most vulnerable group of young people.
Yeah.
You know, in the world, that no one is looking out for them. No one is guiding them. No one cares what happens to them, you know. And then coming across those ones that really have a hunger, you know, and they want someone to care, and they want someone to guide them. They want someone to, you know, take care or at least provide them with the means and the ways and the open door for them to flourish. Okay. You know, so those things are really close to my heart. Just being of service wherever I can and however which way possible.
Okay. Has it been easy?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's easy because it's out there. It's out there. People are looking for help. People are looking for someone that cares. And I just don't feel like there's enough of that in this world. You know, people are out there that need, you know, they need care. They need love. They need help. They need assistance. They're there.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's easy. Of course, it can be emotionally jarring because it brings you back down to earth when you are working with someone or helping someone that just has no hope, does not even know that there is another side to everything or to life, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what survival skills have you acquired that you think could be valuable to anyone else aspiring to be a volunteer?
Survival skills. Besides drinking a lot of water in this hot climate.
Okay.
So another thing about me is that I grew up going camping and hiking in the woods. Mm-hmm. So I have quite a few family members that are in the medical and science field. So it almost comes as a second nature, having that, you know, growing up in that kind of environment, knowing how to do CPR, knowing, you know, how to change a tire, knowing how to change the oil, knowing how to change the filter. I mean, just, I've been doing it for such a long time that outside of going to a new environment, I feel like it's almost the same, applying that, you know, sense of survival, like, okay, be observant, look around you, know where everything is, and know what you have available to you to be able to execute whatever it is you need to execute in order to survive.
Okay.
You know, so I feel like I've been like that for a very long time. Yeah, and that's how, and that's why for me, you can put me in just about every environment, okay, and I promise you I'll survive.
Okay. Has your life changed serving as a volunteer?
Yeah. I don't know if I will say that it has changed in a way where it's like, aha, because I, again, going back to, I have been volunteering for a long time. I think maybe there, people may expect, especially people from home, would expect, oh, you're in Africa, so you must be seeing kids running around naked with flies all over their faces, or, you know. Mm-hmm. So more or less, maybe they change people around me,
okay,
people from home. But
For you, you still feel you're the same.
For me, I still feel like I'm the same. The way that I am changing is becoming more and more dedicated and feeling more and getting more and more passionate about, you know, being a service provider.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's have some music. tell me about your next track.
Double Up, mm-hmm, by Nipsey Hussle. He's one of my favorite artists, and couple of coincidences. My brother, as I mentioned, my brother is late. When my brother was back home, they were actually friends.
Oh.
Before my brother left California, and then Nipsey Hussle died on my birthday.
Oh.
And I was home, like literally 15 minutes away from where he died. So it kind of was a, you know, a little something for me, because he died on my birthday, and 3 days after my birthday is the anniversary of my brother's passing.
Aww.
So that just kind of, you know, but his song Double Up, it's again another song about going hard and doing what you need to do, doing twice as much, you know, never giving up, and just doing the work that needs to be done in order to get to where you want to get to and achieve what you want to achieve.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, there are obstacles in the way, there are people, there are things that don't want to see you succeed, but put that to the back and keep moving. Double up your efforts.
Okay. Yeah. Double Up by Nipsey Hussle. Mm-hmm. It is.
Double up. Three or four times, I ain't telling no lies. I just run it up. Never let a hard time humble us. Double up. I ain't telling no lies. I just.
Yeah.
I ain't telling no lies. I just.
Five. Four. Three, two. That's time I got to you. That money,
my dreams come true. My life in diamonds. Who knew? Who knew?
Turn 7 to a 14, 14 to a whole thing. Lord knows it's a cold game. Switched up on you hoes, man. Big body take both lanes. Backseat blowing propane. All black, fire gold chains. Young rich nigga bossed up on his own, man. My new shit sound like a soul train. Tookie Williams over Coltrane. Eric B by the rope chains. RC, we for show bang. Tiny Lokes and they go crazy. What you know about the dope game? Was you born in the 80s? Did your mama smoke cocaine? Have you ever seen the whole thing? Was you drove to the streets cause you grew up on show change? Fucked up when the dope bash. It remind me when these rappers drop duds and they quotes change. At the park with the low fade. I was standing in front of Knicks with my sack for the whole day. Drive-bys, I was road rage. We park and hop out, learn levels to this whole thing. Old school, play the OJs. Trying to make a slow change. Mama still slaving for a low wage. Trying to double up. Yeah, 3 or 4 times.
You're listening to The Spotlight on Radio Miraya. The Spotlight brings you stories of amazing people who have significant roles as volunteers in South Sudan. And with me in the studio is Edith Tani Bargoma from the U.S., who works as an administrative officer for the United Nations mission in Yei, in South Sudan, United Nations mission in South Sudan, but based in Yei. Your life then is a sort of obsessive drive against normality. As you yourself characterize it, does it mean that sometimes you are attracted to doing some things that are rather conventional? Or are you never naturally attracted to the conventions of life?
Maybe as I get older, I become more conventional, but so far for a big majority of my life, I always went against the grain. I was the troublemaker.
Okay.
And I'm sure some people here would probably still say yeah.
Okay,
it's still there. So I tend to not fall in line, sometimes to my own detriment, but I just, if it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not following it. If I don't agree with it, I'll ask questions.
Okay.
If I don't agree with it, I won't follow it. And I will tell you about yourself and then keep moving.
Okay. You must be very stubborn.
Oh, absolutely. I wear that badge very proudly.
Okay. How does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard conditions suit you?
It suits me fine. Because of my life experience and where I've been and what I've done, I don't look at it as a harsh condition.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as different. I look at it as a new experience, because we're all humans. Humans have been living here in so-called harsh conditions, and they're surviving, and they've survived for millennials. You know, they've survived. So who am I? What makes me
not to?
Who am I exactly? Who am I not to survive? What is so unique or what is so special about me that I come to, I guess, what's considered a harsh
environment
and not survive? You know, these are the things that I think about in my head, like, why can't you survive it? Or what is so harsh about it that you cannot adjust yourself in order to do what you need to do in order to survive?
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're stranded on a desert, what luxury would you take?
A knife.
A knife? Why? Why would you take a knife in a desert?
I gotta get food.
You'll be hunting.
I'll be hunting. I have to get food.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And then the metal from the knife I can use to start a fire.
Oh. That is.
So.
That is interesting. I think I would take a knife too. Okay, tell me about your next piece of music.
My next piece of music is Dedication, Nipsey Hussle song. It speaks for itself. Staying dedicated to the game, whatever it may be, whatever your game is, whatever your career is, whatever your path is, whatever it is that you're trying to do, being dedicated and pushing through nonstop.
Okay.
Simple.
Nah, my nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. It's a real nigga celebration. It's a dime block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla wafers. It's the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue Matrix, red rose in the gray pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platforms to explain it. He frustrated so he get faded. But deep down inside he know you can't fail. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparations. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication. Hard work plus patience to some more of my sacrifice. I'm done waiting, I'm done waiting. Told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. It's dedication.
You're listening to The Spotlight on Radio Miraya. The Spotlight brings you amazing stories of people who have played significant roles in their field and in the society as volunteers. And today with me in the studio is Edith, who works as an administrative officer for the United Nations mission in South Sudan. Edith, who are the people that have been so influential in your life?
I know it's a cliche because, you know, probably a lot of people say their family, their mom, their dad, their siblings. Mm-hmm. But for me, that's just it. I grew up in a close-knit family with all of our dysfunction and everything, you know. But we always came back to each other. We always looked to each other. My best friend is my sister.
Okay.
She's my life. And she's, to me, she's one of the most amazing women. She's my older sister. She's a scientist, you know, working for one of the biggest science companies in the country, in the world, actually. Mm-hmm. So being a woman and being a black woman in America, it's not easy. But, you know, the way that she pushed through everything that she does, I try to follow in her footsteps and make sure that, you know, if she's not crying about it, why should I be crying about it? Okay. If she's not complaining, why should I be complaining? It doesn't mean it's easy, but it just means that when you're focused, when you're dedicated, when you're on your hustle,
you know, everything
will eventually be okay. You know, there are going to be obstacles in your way. But you keep pushing. Okay. And she and my mom and my dad have been, and my brother before he passed away, have been, you know, a perfect example for me.
Okay.
And I don't feel like I can do any less because I don't want to be the one left behind.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So describe to us your relationship with the community that you work in.
It's great. I go to, so I'm in Yay now, and I'm loving it because there's a town to go to. So when I have the opportunity, I go out to the town. You will find me. I have a older woman that has a store. Before I, she sells all kinds of things in the store.
Okay.
So before I go anywhere else to go buy, I go to her.
Okay.
If she doesn't have it, then I can go somewhere else. So she sells everything from kitchen stuff to fabric to, I mean, you name it, she has it. I go to the market. I have a couple of ladies there that I get my fruits and vegetables and you know, just other raw or food stuff, you know. When I'm out there, I sit out sometimes with some of the people in the market. When they see me, they're, hi, how are you doing? Some of them even call me Americana. because of course, when I speak, they're like, where are you from? Sometimes, or they'll say, oh, you have an American accent. So I've met so many town people, and I think, I feel like I'm in my element when I'm out there, just sitting and chatting with them when the opportunity provides itself, you know. And it's not a problem for me. I enjoy it.
Okay. So what would you have been if you hadn't become what you are today?
A lawyer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lawyer. I actually took the entrance exam, and I did pretty well. And the plan was to go to law school. So I would have been a litigator.
Okay.
Because I talk too much. I argue too much. So it was kind of like a natural trajectory, to my mother's disappointment. You know, she wanted me to be a lawyer, and I didn't end up being a lawyer. So,
but you're still serving the community, which is...
I'm still serving the community. I could have potentially, at one point, could have potentially been a dancer.
Oh.
I was competitively dancing when I was in junior high school. So, and I loved it. Did it in high school a little bit.
Oh, and then you stopped somewhere.
Who knows?
Okay. Are you happy with how you spent your time? Can you look at it at the point of 50 and think like, yeah, time well spent?
I'm sure I'll have regrets, but overall, I would say, yeah. I feel like, especially now, like I said, the older I get, the wiser I become. I value learning. I really do value learning. So I try to take the opportunity to learn as much as I can and learn from the most unique or most unexpected places and from the most unexpected people. Mm-hmm. Because I value wisdom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about your final track and why you chose it.
I'm kind of predictable by now, but Nipsey Hussle again.
Oh.
Last time that I checked.
Okay.
Last time that I checked is about... it might be a little bit... Well... Last time that I checked, you weren't there to, you know, take care of me and provide for me. This is a song dedicated to people who like to judge, people who like to have an opinion, and they shouldn't, you know. Last time that I checked, you weren't there when I was going through the various struggles that I was going through and having the life experiences that I have. I'm here today surviving and living my life because of the experiences that I've had. So now is not the time for you to come and try to tell me about myself.
Okay.
Because you weren't there. Okay. And you don't know how I got to where I'm at.
Okay. Nipsey Hussle, last time that I checked. Was no sweat on my rep, last time that I checked. I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat, last time that I checked. I'm the streets voice out west. Legendary self-made progress, last time that I checked. First you get the money, then respect. Then the power and the hoes come next, last time that I checked. I've been self-made from the dribble. I was been saying I'm a killer. Nah. Playing no games with you niggas. Pop clutch, switch lanes on you niggas. Nah. I laid down the game for you niggas. Taught you how to charge more than what they pay for you niggas. On the whole thing for you niggas. Reinvest, double up, then explain for you niggas. It gotta be love. Run the city, it gotta be cut. Just for the pieces I took off the Monopoly board. Hey, y'all niggas false claims, it gotta be fraud. Just keep the hood about your mouth and you gotta be charged. I doubled up, tripled up, nigga what? Banged on the whole game. Nobody tripping, handle business, got my digits up. And when I drop, you know I'm about to fuck. Last time that I checked, it was five chains on my neck.
It was no smut on my rap last time that I checked. I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweats last time that I checked.
This is the Spotlight program on Radio Mirai, and our Spotlight appearance today is Edith Tani Bergoma from the U.S., and she works as an administrative officer for the United Nations mission in South Sudan. Now, every guest on the Spotlight is given a chance to choose a book. What book would you like to read in the fields or when you're on your assignments?
I have a whole bunch of books. I'm a Kindle reader. I have all my books on my phone. I honestly don't know if I have a favorite book, but a book related to South Sudan that I am reading is by the former SRSG, Hildy. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting her first name. But
Hilda Johnson?
Yeah. So I've been reading her book just to kind of get a historical perspective of, you know, the most volatile times. I admire her for being in the position of leadership that she was in such a volatile time in a society that didn't necessarily value women as far as women in leadership. And for her to be in the position she was, dealing with high level individuals, you know, and still being able to, I guess maybe it's opinion based, succeed and survive and make it. And so I admire women that, you know, do stuff like that.
Okay.
So I'm reading her book and just kind of getting a historical perspective of what it was like before.
Okay.
Today.
Okay. And as you head out for more activities, what luxury would you carry out into the fields to make life more bearable? What luxury would you carry to make life more bearable if you're going to the fields here in South Sudan?
Light?
Oh. Okay.
Honestly, I'm simple. Mm-hmm. I'm simple. Luxury, to me, what I count or value as luxury is not maybe what the everyday person would count as luxury. For me, luxury is necessity.
Okay.
So if I have light, I feel like I can do anything. If I have a knife, I feel like I'll survive.
So the two most important things are knife and light.
I don't know if it's the two most important things, but you know, it's good to have.
And knife and light. Okay, that's very interesting. And if you had to pick just one of the tracks that you have chosen today, which one would you pick?
Stand Up.
Okay.
I would pick Stand Up, because no matter what, you should stand up and you should defend. You should take the mantle.
Okay.
You should take the mantle.
Thank you very much for letting us hear your story on the Spotlight here on Radio Mirai.
Thank you for having me.
The Spotlight program airs every Friday at 2:15 p.m. with a repeat on Saturdays at 8 p.m. on Radio Mirai, and is produced by Martina Brooks. Thanks also to our technical team. I am Helen Tobey.